Space, the final frontier. This is the Observer's Notebook, the official podcast of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. Its mission to explore the solar system, to seek out new observations and data, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. And now the host of the Observer's Notebook, Tim Robertson.
Hello and welcome to episode 186 of the Observer's Notebook, the official podcast of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. I'm Tim Robertson, the host of the Observer's Notebook, and also the coordinator of the training program within the ALPO. Hey, thanks for downloading and listening. The ALPO collects and analyzes observations of various solar system bodies and associated phenomenon, and publishes detailed reports concerning these bodies in its quarterly publication, the Journal of the Association of Lunar and Planetary Observers. This podcast depends upon donations from you, our listeners, to keep it going. If you do enjoy what you hear on the podcast, you can donate to it via Patreon. You can start off by giving as little as $1 a month. If you feel even more generous, for $5, you receive early access to the podcast before it goes public. For a monthly donation of $10, you receive a copy of the Novice Observer's Handbook. And for $35 a month, you receive producer credits on the podcast. You can find out more by going to patreon.com/Observer's Notebook. And if you'd like to join the ALPO, membership begins at only $22 a year. For more information, find us on www.alpo-astronomy.org. And we're also on Facebook. Just search for ALPO Astronomy. And this podcast also has a Facebook page as well. Just search for Observer's Notebook. And if you enjoy this podcast and never want to miss another episode, please hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to it on YouTube, do the same. Hit the subscribe button and a little thumbs up. That way you're notified every time there's a new podcast out there. And now, episode 186. It's kind of interesting. It was recorded while I was on my way to the total solar eclipse in Texas. There's an observatory campground in Arizona. We're going to talk to the person that runs it. Enjoy. All right, I'd like to welcome everybody back to this episode of the Observer's Notebook podcast. And we have a very special guest today, Jim Lackner. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, now Jim is a resident astronomer at a campground. And this campground's been on my bucket list of areas to go to for many, many years. And it's in Benson, Arizona, which happens to be on our route to Fredericksburg, Texas, for the total solar eclipse. So we stopped here along the way, and I reached out to Jim, and we decided to have a little conversation about the observatory. So why don't you give me a little bit of background about yourself, you know, your history and things like that.
Okay. I grew up in northern Minnesota, right along the Canadian border, so I was always interested, like everyone, in the northern lights. Mm-hmm. And I remember back when Sputnik was, that's aging me a little bit, okay. But I remember Sputnik laying in the backyard and looking at stars, waiting for Sputnik to come by. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, when she reached about 13 years old, she got an 8-inch reflector telescope from a friend of mine. And so we went to look at Halley's Comet out in the desert in California. We were living there at the time.
Okay.
So after she ran into boys at about age 15, the telescope wasn't interesting anymore, so mm-hmm. I would take it out and I would look. Specifically, I was looking for galaxies.
Okay.
And then we work and life took its effect mm-hmm. on us, and so we kind of put the telescope away until a couple of years ago when we stopped in here at the RV park. Mm-hmm. And one of my neighbors was working up at the observatory at the time, and he asked me if I'd be interested next year to work with him. Mm-hmm. And so I said, sure. And that's how I got started.
Oh, wow.
Working here.
Now, how long has this RV park been in existence?
Well, I'm not sure the actual date, okay. But I know the observatory was built in 2004.
Okay.
So it's 20 years old this year.
Wow. Okay. And it's an impressive instrument. You have a Meade 16-inch Schmidt-Cassegrain telescope in there?
Yes.
It's and the I don't know how many times I commented on the mount last night. Last night he held a observance session and a bunch of us went and were entertained for almost 90 minutes at the telescope. It was pretty good. So you mentioned last night that you're not an amateur astronomer.
I don't feel I'm an amateur astronomer. I love what I do. Mm-hmm. This is something that I'm blessed to have mm-hmm. this job. And I know the people coming in are usually here for one night. Some right. of them are residents here all winter long. And, you know, at different times of the year, we have different objects mm-hmm. to look at. So I try to give them as much as I can in mm-hmm. a short a time, and I don't try to fill them up with a lot of information. So
right.
I try to be aware of what I'm looking at and have two or three things to tell them about it. And then, of course, I've done a little bit more studying than that, so I wait for questions. I will leave a couple of things out there hanging when I give them the information, so if they're interested, they can ask questions.
Yeah.
So I know that they're here to look through the telescope.
Right.
They tell me that over and over. They love the fact that we are actually looking through the telescope rather than looking at a screen and showing them what the telescope is.
So, and I appreciate that. That's what astronomy is for me. I'm a visual observer. Yeah, yeah. I have all sorts of CCD cameras that I can slap on my telescopes, but I'd much rather look through the eyepiece.
Yeah.
And that's
and that's, I would say, well over 90% of the people here appreciate the fact that they get to look through the telescope.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now, let's step back a little bit. This is in Benson, Arizona. Can you tell our listeners where Benson, Arizona is?
Okay, Benson is right off the I-10 between Tucson and El Paso or New Mexico.
Okay.
So you're traveling east or traveling west before you get to Tucson. We're about 40 miles outside of Tucson, something like that. And we're near a tourist attraction, which is Tombstone. Mm-hmm. So that brings them right through town. And we have a lot of things going on here that a person wouldn't see. So we have in town, I don't know whether you've had a chance to walk downtown, but you'll notice the buildings all have murals on them. And we have people who stop in here to see these murals.
Oh, also. Really? I have to tell my wife that. She loves murals.
Yeah, and it's quite nice. And then we have a state park, which is the caverns.
Okay.
They have two different caverns that you can tour, and a lot of people will stop in to stay here to attend the caverns. This is a destination spot for snowbirds. It fills up in the wintertime.
Okay.
And it's a small town in I guess a town is about 3,000 to 4,000 people.
All right.
And we are at elevation, about 3,600 feet, so we do get snow in the winter, too.
Oh.
Last winter, we had 4 snowfalls, one of them with 5 inches of snow on the ground.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy here.
But Benson is a very friendly town.
It seems like it, yeah.
And it has... This park has everything. We can walk to the hospital. We can walk across the street to the post office. And we have many fine little restaurants in town.
Mm-hmm.
And we have doctor services. Last night you didn't hear it, but usually the helicopters will visit us during the show. They'll come flying in to the hospital, which is half a block away.
Right. We passed it on the way in. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pleasant town. It's a great place to visit. And this park is situated very well. And we mm-hmm. love it here because it's kept up.
Yeah. It's a beautiful park. I mean, the sites are large. Are all of them full hookup? I believe they are.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how many sites are there?
I think there's 170 some. Of course, that's counting the park models.
Okay.
We have a couple rows of park models at the back of the park.
Okay. Little houses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of RV parks are going that way now.
Yes, so they are.
Because for people that don't have RVs, they...
Well, some of us are getting to the age where we don't want to drive all the time, so they will come down here for the winter in their park model,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll drive their car rather than their motorhome or truck, you know, trailer, fifth wheel. they'll drive their car or truck home. They'll use that back and forth. So this is a winter home for them.
Yeah, this park has been on my radar for many years, and I'm finally glad I was able to work it in on our venture east to Texas for the eclipse. I mean, it's really nice.
Well, I can tell you, the managers here are fully supportive of everything we do in the observatory.
Mm, good.
There's no micromanagement. If I need anything, I just tell them, and they take care of it.
That's
right
nice.
Away. We don't do our own, well, we do. I do some mechanical repairs, okay. But I don't work on the telescope,
mm-hmm.
And I don't do the big jobs on the dome, like the cable system
okay. Or
the motors, but I do things like changing the belt on the motors
right. And
making sure it's rotating fine and inspections, things like that. But the managers are really supportive, and I really appreciate that because they don't tell me what to do. They say, you do it.
It's yours.
And that's it.
That's pretty good. That's
yeah.
A lot of freedom there. Now, you've been doing this for a couple of years, you said. So what are some of the fun experiences you had with people that have looked through a telescope for the very first time?
My day is made when I hear a wow. Okay. And I try to, on different objects that we'll look at, say, does anybody want another look? And when almost the whole crowd comes up for another look,
mm-hmm.
It's hard because I need to not extend it too far. I try to show as many things, different things. But I love it when kids come up here
yeah. Because
I have to actually tell them, okay, your time is up, because they don't want to leave the telescope.
Oh, very
and
cool.
It's good to see that enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
I had a third grader, a young girl who came up, and she was in the third grade about 2 weeks ago. And she was telling me about all the things that she was looking at. And I just let her go.
Uh-huh.
And pretty soon the people sitting around her were asking her questions, which was wonderful. That enthusiasm.
Yes.
It makes me want to go to work. This is something that I do that I can't wait to get up there in the evening. I really can't, and I get very discouraged when I see clouds or high winds.
I hear you, yeah.
So this is a job that I could do forever.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And the observatory is open year-round, right,
pretty yes.
much? Just it's weather open. Is the only thing that will shut
weather
you down.
Weather permitting, we are open 365 days a year. But this year, the managers did, I take back the 365 because they said, you will take holidays off. There will be no show on Christmas, no
okay. Show
on New Year's Eve, no show on Easter. So,
okay. You
know, Thanksgiving, you don't have to do a show, but
that's nice.
That's the only thing they tell me. That's the only instructions I get from them.
But you do it if they let you, right?
Yeah, I do it. You know, hey, you know, the day is done when it gets dark
yeah. For
most people. So if they're here and they want to see a show, yeah. I'll do it any day.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite objects to look at through the telescope?
For the crowd,
mm-hmm.
Saturn.
Oh.
Saturn is a favorite for everyone.
You usually get a wow with that.
Yes, yes, you do.
And they want to see the little image of Saturn on the other side of the telescope because it's not really look like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a comment they always make. Is there a sticker on this thing? It looks like a sticker. Any of the planets,
mm-hmm.
well, not so much Mars
mm-hmm.
and Venus. I mean, I show them so they can say they've looked at it. But I like the nebula.
Yep. I can see that last night, yeah.
Yeah. The nebulas are fun to look at. I particularly like the Ring Nebula because
mm-hmm.
it's so different.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing the start of a nebula. You're seeing the start of the cloud as it's growing. And I also like the star clusters. They're very interesting, and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the globular clusters are usually a big hit with people.
Yeah, one thing I noticed last night is you were real patient with the people at the eyepiece, because on objects like clusters and nebula, you can't just glance inside the telescope. Your eye has to become accustomed to the dimness and the fuzziness of it.
Yes.
And so, as an observer as you are, you know what the object should look like when you put the telescope on it, and you have trained your eye to pick out the fine details that other people might not see right away. And that's giving them the patience and the time at the eyepiece is really important. You did that last night. That's really good.
Well, and that's important. That's important for anybody because, like you said, the untrained eye will go on there and look and go, oh, okay. But if you tell them, take your time. I am in no hurry. I'll stay there as long as people want to stay there. Yeah, like last night.
Yeah, last night. I had to bail early. Yeah.
No, I understand that. Yeah. And it does, you know, I guess when I started, it didn't bother me a lot, but it did kind of give me a feeling like, well, this isn't interesting to them. But then I start to understand these people have been traveling all day,
right,
and they're tired. I know I'm tired after a day of traveling. Mm-hmm. And especially with Southern Arizona's winds,
right?
That really tires you out. And the older you get, the worse your shoulders are.
Driving a big rig and getting them beaten around on the road.
And well, I always tell people that we have a nice jacuzzi here, so that's a good place to hit after you get here. Just get set up and go jump in a jacuzzi and enjoy the day.
It's
patience. I'm in no hurry to leave, so let me put it that way. I don't run on a clock. Mm-hmm. I run on the interest of the people.
So do you ever open it up after hours when everybody's gone?
Where you can just, someone wants to, yes.
I mean, just for yourself, though.
Oh, yeah. There's many nights when we have slow nights and no one's signed up. I'll go up there and I'll just explore.
Yeah?
I'll just look for things. I know what I'm looking for. So I'll get the scope on it, and I'll say, well, now, would this be interesting to somebody? Or because if it's interesting to me, that doesn't mean everybody else is interested in it. So I kind of get the feedback from the people. I just had a lady stop me on the way up here. She was at the show last night, and she said she appreciated they left early. She said, we were really tired, but we appreciated that we could look through that thing and not have to sit down right away.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like to tell people to back off.
No, I know. I took extra time with the eyepiece sometimes.
Well, and that's it. You know, people have come here to look through the telescope to see something. So let's give them time to do it.
That's true.
If I had a smaller crowd, I've been filling it up night after night. And that, a lot of that has to do with the weather we've had this winter.
Yeah.
The storms.
Well, this campsite is right on the path to Texas for the eclipse, too. I think maybe 3/4 of the people in this campground right now are going to Texas.
And it's been that way for a week.
Has it really?
Oh, there's a lot of people ahead of you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that. Yeah. We get a lot of eastbound traffic.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they're all telling, they tell me where they're going to go.
Yeah.
And I like to kid the people, but I'm serious when I say I hope the weather is good there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's starting to, the forecast, you know, this has been recorded on April
3rd.
April 3rd, yeah. I'm retired. I remember the days.
I'm the same way.
April 3rd. So we're about a week out, less than a week out from the total eclipse. And this is going to drop after the eclipse. So We all got our fingers crossed that the weather's going to look good in Texas. Yeah.
I hope it is, because now I've seen the total eclipse.
Okay.
And my wife said, well, wouldn't you like to go over there? And I said, no, I think we'll just watch it on TV this year.
Oh, really? I was going to ask if you're going to take a day off and head over to Texas and see it.
No, I have too many things to do here, and my wife works here too, so she can't take time off. And we do everything together, so
that's nice.
Yeah,
we're
retired, so we're just enjoying life.
Yeah, and there's no way to watch the eclipse through that telescope. You don't have any filters.
No,
okay.
No, we don't.
It's just
have
too
the
big
right
of a scope to have.
Yeah,
filter.
Yeah. I've had a lot of questions. Can we come up here and look at the? And I said, well, you'd have to sign a waiver because I have a medic standing by. Because
it's not a solar telescope.
No, it's. It's not the biggest telescope in the world, but I won't even show the moon when it's beyond a quarter.
Oh, yeah, because it ruins your eye for an hour. Yeah.
I said I don't want people to walk around and have a black spot in front of their eye
That's very good.
So,
yeah,
I just, if somebody really insists, I will pick up an edge, just a tiny edge, so they can say they looked at the moon. But we do have a moon filter.
Okay.
So, in fact, I have two of them. So.
Okay. Cut down the glare a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, yeah.
Wow.
This is for anybody who's listening, this is a dream job when you're retired.
Oh, trust me. It's running through my head. When are you retiring, Jim?
Well, I was going to say, if you really like the area, they'd be happy to have you here.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful area.
Well, some of the people who've worked here before I got here, are in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy, I do call him, and his name is Ken Klein. He's very, very knowledgeable. But if I have any questions or I run into something, I just give him a phone call, and he says, okay, I'll be there in an hour.
Oh, great.
So there's a lot
of backup.
There's a lot of support here. They have a big observation club down in Sierra Vista.
You're right.
And they have asked if they can come up and see it. And come on up. They want to take a look. Everybody wants to take a look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so unusual to see in an RV park.
It really is, yeah. But now, looking through the telescope is free for anybody that's staying here, correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If they're in the area, local, or even Tucson, and I've had them come out from Tucson, we ask that they pay $5 per person. I think, well, that's a pretty good deal.
That's pretty fair, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty fair deal. I do have a couple of stories I can tell you what happened this year.
Okay.
All right. I had a couple, they called in for reservations. They want to know if they could reserve it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't have anybody signed up that night. It was a clear night. So he told the office, I'll pay you $100 if I can have it by myself. And so he came in.
Mm-hmm.
He was late getting here. I was waiting for him up at the observatory. And when he pulled in with his really nice car. And talking to them, they were there for about an hour and a half. And it was he and his fiance. They flew in from New York. They were on their way to the Bay Area. And his fiance wanted to look through a telescope.
Oh, my goodness.
So they flew into Tucson, rented that car, came here, watched it, and then got back on their plane and continued their flight into the Bay Area.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, who is this guy? So I looked at the name. Yeah. I looked at the name and looked it up on the internet, and he is a corporate officer for a large pharmaceutical company and hospital equipment supply company.
Wow. Should have got more than $100.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I could gain back some of my costs.
There you go.
But
yeah. So you operated the telescope for him for an hour or so, and
whatever
they wanted to look at, you go.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't too interested, but his fiance was very interested.
That's nice.
And so we had just that private viewing. I'd have done it for nothing. They'd had to pay $5.
Right.
That would have been it. But it was a very interesting couple. They were very nice. And I appreciate the $100 because any tips that we get, I don't keep tips.
Mm.
It all goes to a fund that we have for one of our UPS drivers' son died of childhood cancer.
Oh.
And so they formed a fund. It's called Owens Fund. And they support families who are having to stay with their kids. So this year we exceeded our donations. And it's just fun. And I tell people, I will accept your money for this fund, but I don't want to make money on this.
No.
So, anyway, it's just a lot of fun. I try to make every night a fun night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not there to teach them anything. I'm there to let them look through the telescope.
Yeah, but you do. And like I mentioned early on, you called yourself not an amateur, but part of amateur is being in love with the science. That's what the word means.
Yes.
So I saw your passion last night. I feel your passion right now about the observatory and what you see in the sky. So thank you for that, and don't ever not call yourself an amateur astronomer, because you definitely are.
Well, okay, I'll take that, but I'm an old amateur astronomer.
I'm not actually really. This has been a real pleasure. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we go?
Yeah, if you're in the area, please stop by. If there's nobody here and you came in, it would make my night.
Okay.
Just to take care of whoever comes in.
That sounds good.
It's just a lot of fun, and it's been a pleasure. You guys were great last night.
Yeah.
I gleaned some information from YouTube,
Oh, good.
And it was fun.
Good. I'm glad. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Okay. You're welcome.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Observer's Notebook Podcast. I again want to thank Jim Lackner and the Butterfield RV Park and Observatory for coming on the podcast today. If you're ever in that part of Arizona, I highly recommend you stop by. It's a wonderful campground, great, all the amenities, and a beautiful observatory. And Jim's really a great guy. We upload new episodes of the Observer's Notebook on the 1st and 15th of every month. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. If you do, please give us a rating and a review. I really would appreciate it. You can also listen to us on Apple Radio, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Echo, Spotify, and we also have a YouTube channel that all of the podcasts are available on as well. You can help support the podcast by donating to it via Patreon. You can give up to $35 a month, where you'll receive 1 year's membership to the Alpo and producer credits on the podcast. And with that, I'd like to thank the producers of this podcast, Steve Seedentop and Michael Moyer, for the continued generous support. Thank you very much. The link for Patreon, as well as the link for the Alpo, is in the show notes. If you'd like to get a hold of me, my email address is cometman@cometman.net or on Twitter @ObserversNBPod. Until next time, I hope you always have clear and steady skies. Thanks for listening.